The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by our patrons at patreon.com/1900wrestling. We did some accounting, and we realized that we have a little bit of a wrestle fund after stockpiling all these months. So we will begin to hear all of our grand plans of what we're going to do. Dills and I spent some time over the weekend, so we're scheming and dreaming, and we are bringing that to you, and it's because of you. So thank you, patreon.com/1900wrestling. And by my new Kickstarter, Action News, we're in the back nine officially, 9 days left. We're already funded, so you are definitely going to get these cards. However, if more people back, the bigger and better the deck will be. So go ahead and check it out. ActionNewsGame.com, or just go to Kickstarter and search for Action News. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the only show that answers everything you need to know about professional wrestling, 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory. Willie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Fantastic weekend of wrestling. Fantastic in a lot of ways, just because we got to go to a wrestling event together.
We did.
But also just a lot, you know, whether you enjoy or don't enjoy an event. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to talk wrestling and to be around it and other wrestling fans. That's basically what I had all weekend long.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I also binged watched Glow last night as well.
You did?
1 through 10. Yeah.
It's a very bingeable show, right? Because of the half-hour episodes.
It's super bingeable, yeah. And I really, really enjoyed it. And it wasn't, and I'd heard this, it wasn't hugely all about the wrestling.
Sure.
A lot of it was just, you know, character stories and things like that. But there was plenty of wrestling in there if that's what you were hoping for.
And
it was fantastic.
In fact, you want to know what? Let's go ahead and start with that, because we're gonna be able to expand. We're going to talk all about Battleground that happened last night. We're going to talk all about the Wrestle Circus show that we went to. But let's begin with something that we will get to a little bit later. In fact, you want to know what? I'm going to save it. Don't let me forget, Willie, the sound of the week. The sound of the week. But let's start with Glow, because I actually watched last night, as I was going to sleep, the documentary that got everything going with the Glow, the fictionalized Glow show. But I have watched all 10 episodes of Glow. The thing I think that they did really, really right, which is surprising, because I was not expecting it them to get it as right, is just the wrestling thing in general. Like, what is the occupation of a wrestler? What makes it hard to do? And very often what non-wrestling fans fixate on with wrestling is more about the surprises and like the secrets and whether or not something's going to happen and
sure.
You know, that somebody wins when they're not supposed to, when really for the craftsmen of professional wrestling, that's like saying, oh, I wonder if someone's going to accidentally do a spreadsheet in the middle of the final meeting or something, right? It's like, no, all of this is laid out, and there is a certain stagecraft to it, but that's for the paying fans, not for the people inside.
Yeah, and that was one thing I thought the show really captured was, so there was a lot of camp to it, obviously. I mean, I haven't watched a bunch of the actual show. You know, that was kind of before my time, really. As a big wrestling fan, I was a little kid when Glow was actually a thing. It was, what was it? It was on like not even
debuted in 19
network TV or whatever. It was
1986. Yeah, 1986, and it was on syndicated television. So it was in a lot of markets, but not necessarily on ABC.
Not
or
in
NBC
my
or
market.
Anything.
Yeah. So I wasn't super familiar with it outside of like then becoming like a super wrestling fan later on and like reading everything about wrestling. That, you know, there's a lot of people who act like, oh, of course, Glow. Oh, I know all about that. I didn't know anything. So going into the show, I was just kind of like taking it all in without any kind of preconceived notion of what it should be, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I really enjoyed about it was that they just took, like, they took a bunch of people who don't like wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is all the characters in the show.
Yes.
except for one guy. And then they basically got all of them that wrestling got over with everybody. Right.
Like, yes.
And that was what I loved about it. It was like that process of understanding why it's awesome and why it's fun. Even when there's things like, I don't want to spoil things for some people, but incredibly racist gimmicks are used by some of the characters. But it's all kind of in jest, right? And it really worked for me. I was like, yes, this is why I like wrestling.
Well,
because I don't need to know a million things about your backstory. Like, I know what your character is and I know what your motivations are the moment I see you. And all the people in the crowd, like that final episode where they actually pull the show off or whatever, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastically done.
So the other thing is that, they do a really, really, really good job of showing wrestling, which GLOW was, as very avant-garde, something that can be challenging, that can push the lines. And that is the point of it. I think very often, and even us as wrestling fans who enjoy it, can look at things as exploitative and dumb, and it certainly can be that, right? But sometimes it is about challenging your audience. Sometimes it is about saying, hey, look at these norms that we swallow on an everyday basis. What if we took them out to 11 and made people fight about it in the center of the ring? Like, wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing, too. Like, one of the reasons wrestling does work so well is you can throw away. It's kind of like going to see stand-up comedy. Being able to laugh at something that is kind of racist,
yeah,
that you feel a little bad about, but it's funny, or sexist or misogynistic or whatever the hell it is that would bother you in like a workplace environment,
yeah.
Suddenly, you could just kind of let go of all of the things like shackling you from just enjoying the world, and you could just like, okay, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
One thing that's always kind of brought up on the What Culture videos. Uh-huh. Is Hakim the African Dream, right? And then they like show him. They're like, "Remember, this guy was called Hakim the African Dream." It's like, yeah, but I didn't care. Nobody, I don't know. It was fine. Like whatever. Well,
and even then, that was a FU to Dusty Rhodes.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, you can just kind of do stuff.
Yeah.
You can just get away with stuff, and it's okay. And like that's what wrestling just lets you do. Like, we just, Wrestle Circus, we'll slide right on in there if we want
to.
But yeah. Wrestle Circus has a bunch of ridiculous gimmicks, right?
Oh, yeah.
And every single one is so over with the crowd and so fun. And that's just the point of it. It's like, you don't have to sit there and think super hard about the implications of allowing somebody to have a gimmick like this.
Yeah.
Like, to have a space monkey shove a banana dick into somebody else's mouth. Just hilarious.
It's
just
good. Hilarious. That's just good eating.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into that. We were both at the Wrestle Circus show, and let's move into our sound of the week.
It was me, Austin. It was me.
That's Austin getting punched.
It's so good, by the way, because it was me, Austin, is actually the line. And
yes.
Now it's just put an extra comma in there, I guess, and you're good.
So let's set this up a little bit. You'll get it if you watch the show on Twitch. But Wrestle Circus did another one of their, the second of their big free live stream on their Twitch channel shows. It was, I think, a hell of a card. That sound came from a very fun moment toward the end of the show where one of the evil referees was revealed to be the menacing hooded figure that has been terrorizing.
Well, this was his true heel turn. So for any background for people, he's not really a heel. He's just kind of incompetent and just kind of lame. I don't know. He's like a lame duck referee, right? He comes in there and he doesn't seem to be very good at all of the things that referees are usually good at, right? Like, his counts look weak. He's just kind of stumbling around the ring. And he just, I remember the first time I went to it, I show up, Trey Warren and some other guys, we all walk in together, and he comes out and everybody boos. I'm like, wait, we're booing the referee? And he's like, yeah, well, it's just a thing. We just boo that referee. Everybody hates that referee. And I'm like, why? And he's like, just because he sucks. So he wasn't, like, this was like a true heel turn,
yes.
But it was so well done for them to use this guy that this has become a joke just for the audience.
Yeah.
Like, just people in the know would just know, oh, yeah, we boo that guy. So now we've got a true reason to hate this man.
A true evil referee. For those of you who are unaware, yeah, he was there have been a series of beatings of the most lovable man in indie wrestling, Gentleman Jervis. And now revealed that it was indeed. Here, let's play it again.
It was me, Austin!
It was me! By the way, this was a complaint. Like, people got swerved hard, man. Nobody saw this coming. The hooded figure came out, and everyone started to think, you know, oh, is it Scorpio Sky's manager? Is it, you know, who could this be? And when it was revealed, the huge reaction from the crowd. It was great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk a little bit broader about Wrestle Circus. We got together with Trey Warren and his lovely lady before the show. Went in, saw a bunch of awesome folks, Swagger and Tess, friends of the show, and Trina, the indie super fan, Trina, who I've kept in touch with through the Mat Men scene for a while, was there. It was great to see her. What stuck out to you about this Wrestle Circus show?
Well, first of all, I think that they did a much better job keeping it like shorter, but still I think there was 11 matches. 12 matches, which is still way too damn long. But they tweeted out the next day that from here on out, Wrestle Circus will go to an 8-match-a-show format.
Yeah.
So they'll be cutting 33% of extra stuff here off the top, which I think is great. So I kind of want to point out that, like, I wanted people to not think after I talked about it on the last time we talked about Wrestle Circus on this show, because that was a 5.5-hour whatever. This was like 4:20 or something like that, 4:25.
Pretty lengthy. Pretty lengthy, the last one.
Still a long time, but we were still able to go at the end. And I think that's really the key is, as a crowd, you're also putting a lot of energy in, right? Yeah. Each of these competitors has one match. They could put all of it into that one match. The crowd has to go for 12 matches. You know what I mean? And we don't train as hard as they do.
No,
it's hard to keep it going, man. I felt kind of bad because the Tessa Blanchard, Rachel Ellering match, I think would have gotten, and it did pretty well.
Yeah.
It would have gotten an even bigger reaction if we had not all been pretty tired at that point. So
sure.
You know, but my takeaway was that it was just, it's so draining because of how good every single match is. There was basically there's no real downtime, right?
Well,
like, there's not like a bathroom match on these cards.
Yeah, well, because they're doing such, I think, exceptional booking of kind of the cream of the crop of available indie talent. You know, there's not a lot of top names that are actively available that they have not brought in or are looking to bring in, including next month's with Cody Rhodes. But to focus on this show, I would have to say the quality of both the Lucha Brothers versus Roppongi Vice and the Shane Strickland Sammy Callahan match was amazing, and that was before you got to Tessa Blanchard versus Rachel Ellering, which I thought was great. Was really, really good, and all three of them were very different kinds of matches, you know, and that's really what indie wrestling can kind of bring you, you know, beyond what you think about the WWE. It's fairly undeniable that all WWE matches feel like WWE matches very deliberately. You know, they wrestle a certain kind of style in a way that the indies are kind of unbound from. They can it's up to the people in the ring to know what they want to do.
Well, and I'll say that too, those were the final three matches of the night, right? Oh, actually, no, I think
The tag match was early.
The Gentleman Jervis match in between. But these were like the three biggest kind of like series. These are all the title matches.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, we had kind of the spot fest with a little comedy mixed in. But, you know, just a very kind of technically sound and really interesting to watch match with Roppongi and Lucha Brothers. And then, of course, we had just an all out brawl between Shane Strickland and Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch the psychology in this match was insane. And then you have, you know, like kind of just a really good back and forth some false finishes. Don't know who's actually going to win match for the women's title. Which, so yeah, like all of them brought something different to the table. They're all super interesting. The crazy thing too is the whole show like kicks off with. I don't think it was it the first match, the Mecha Wolf Ethan Page. It was like the first or second.
Second match, but, like, yeah.
But we're already by the second match. We've got like one of the most insane dives to the outside that I've ever friggin' seen. I thought Mecha Wolf was dead.
Yeah. So
by the way, Mr. 450.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just for those to keep track on your scorecards at home.
Yes.
Mr. 450 is now known as Mecha Wolf. There yes. was not much of a discussion on how or why he is now the Mecha Wolf, but
didn't need to happen though.
He's the Mecha Wolf. Just go with
stuff.
It.
Yeah, yeah. It works. But no, he did a dive out, and I think he just overshot the mark or something, but he went face first into a bunch of chairs. And that's like the that's like the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think the last time I even, there's a lot of times, you know, you want to pull your camera and get a shot. I at some point just forgot to be taking pictures and video.
Well, you got that clip.
I was just too into watching it.
You got that clip, and that clip is yeah. insane.
He, is
that was something crazy to watch and even crazier to see played back. Were there any other highlights of that? And have you seen some of the reaction on Reddit and on you know, about kind of the home experience, the broadcast experience?
Well, yeah, so I wish they didn't do on Squared Circle, they did not do a thread during the event.
Yeah.
Which they did the first time because it was on the front page. I think a lot more people found out about it. You know, like there wasn't that going on this time, which was a little maybe we should have just I should have just started one myself. But
yeah,
there was a lot of talk about this show afterwards, and a lot of like there's some clips being shared and everything. So I think, you know, it's pretty cool that Wrestle Circus is definitely now becoming, and it's already kind of a hot promotion, but getting even hotter now by becoming the initial, like the kind of innovator around using Twitch as their platform. But there was a few, like, okay, so every time I go now, there's some guys I don't know.
Yeah.
Who then I become like huge fans of.
Sure.
And I think that's what happened this time. So Donovan Dijak was friggin' great.
Yeah.
And I had never seen him before. And then ACH, the Scorpio Sky match, friggin' loved that guy. And then I'm gonna go, like, my new favorite heel is MJF, Maxwell Jacob Feinstein, who came out and got hit in the face with some toilet paper and threatened to sue everybody.
Yeah. No,
it was awesome, man. Like every single person who I hadn't seen before, it was just a treat to get to see him. So like right now, it's just like wrestlers can't really do wrong in my eyes. Like everything they put out there is just golden.
Ah, man, it is hard to say that's not the absolute truth, because there's always going to be somebody at a show like that you care about. Here's what I'd say. Just, you know, to look at the numbers. You know, they carried around 1,500 to 1,700 concurrents.
Yep.
And for those that might look at that and say, well, it's not the 7,000 they did for the first one, understand that they had no front page exposure on Twitch this time.
Yeah.
And that means a lot. For you to go from 7,000 to holding damn near 2,000 with only two broadcasts effectively, like, that's gigantic. And what I think is going to have to happen, not only on Reddit, but also on shows like this, is that there's just going to be a desire to know every night what's streaming for free on Twitch. You know, like what indie can I see now that I could not have seen before without laying out $30 a month for Flow Slam or something like that. Or
and all of these are going to kind of feed each other too, right? Like, because there's so much cross between like the actual people, like the wrestlers, you know, they hit a lot of, they went at the great thing about the indie scene is they hit a bunch of these different promotions. And so you can see them in multiple different places. And once you've seen like that, you know, you really like a guy like ACH, you're going to be like, oh, look, he's over here now, you know, and you might check out that show. So yeah, I think the more people jump on this bandwagon, just the better it is for everybody. Right.
150%.
And the tipping and the bits, I wish I could see solid numbers on that, but it sounds to me like it was working and it was going great. You actually had a little bit of a, You had a little feud of your own going on there. Somebody was trying to take your crown.
Someone tried to scoop my heat as the top cheer for Wrestle Circus. It's actually a really, really cool guy that actually works with them, E1XX7 Collective. He's worked with them on their Twitch a little bit. And I had the top one at 5,000. And he scooped my heat, went for 5,001. But if you go there to the Wrestle Circus Twitch, you will see... The champ is here. I'm back. I had to buy bits in the crowd watching Wrestle Circus so I could get my crown back at 5,003. So I am very, very excited about that. Big shout out to everybody that puts that together and all the performers that were there. I will tell you.
You should have gotten up and yelled, "The bits that's here and sits." Or so, I don't know, something, right?
Yes. Like- the man who sits and cheers the bits. So funny story.
It was fantastic. But the whole thing right now, there's such a fun little culture brewing around this in Austin. I feel like we're starting to get, it's not just going to be wrestling fans pretty soon. This is the type of thing that, especially in a town like this, or, you know, like Hood Slam, it's going to attract people who are just there for the spectacle. Right.
Yeah.
And will become wrestling fans after they see what kind of just a fantastic show it is. So
I'm here in Austin. The reason why I came to see the show, as much as I really enjoyed the Wrestling Circus show, I wasn't here for that. I'm here to promote Action News, right? And so we streamed together for a little bit. I've done a bunch of podcasts and some video stuff, and it's been a super great trip. Leaving tonight. But one of the shows that I definitely wanted to do was my friends Corey and Martin at DoubleToasted.com. They do fantastic movie reviews and just culture stuff. They're great. I love them. So I go over to their studio last night. And I'm sitting there chopping it up, having a good time. Next thing you know, show ends. Everyone's kind of saying goodbye. They usually have a little bit of a live studio audience. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, man, nice all ego Ethan Page shirt." Because I was wearing the shirt that I bought from Ethan Page on Saturday. And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I saw it at the Wrestle Circus show." And he's like, "Oh, did you really like it?" And I'm like, "Dude, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic." And he's like, "How about that ref?" And it's at that moment that I realize that I am indeed looking into the eyes of...
It was me, Austin! It was me, Austin!
I was looking into the eyes of Austin, the evil ref! I didn't know he was sitting there the whole time! It was him the whole time!
He was just plotting on you. Yeah, you know, it's funny because he was... He was clearly in disguise. He knows that it's dangerous for him out there right now. So he had the backwards hat on. I saw the picture you posted in the Discord. I was like, "Wait, is that really him?"
That was him.
But, yeah,
that was him. But wow. he was a great guy, and it was so funny to see a lot of this great independent Austin media kind of supporting each other and knowing that they kind of come from the same cloth. So. Big shout out to as much as he's an evil POS to Austin the ref. It was great running into him at Double Toasted last night. All right, let's move on to the big news of the weekend, and that is Battleground in the books. We had a couple title changes. I think it was fairly eventful and surprising considering this is, you know, kind of a throwaway pay per view before SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. We made some predictions, which we don't normally do on our stream. Do you have those up?
I do, actually. So, by the way, the Wrestle Circus predictions shook out like this. I got 8 right.
Yeah.
Trey got 6 right. And Justin, I'm sorry, but you pulled up at the rear here. 5.
I got 5 right. So I had to buy a round at the bar afterwards.
Many rounds were purchased afterwards.
There were many rounds, including, by the way, I took a look at what my lift cost. Getting a lift to damn near Dripping Springs from downtown Austin at closing time was an expensive proposition in hindsight.
Yeah, not cheap at all. I actually, I did a bus, and then I did a ride Austin from there.
Yeah,
it took me a while to get home.
Hachi machi. So,
okay, but by the way, Battlegrounds, we all tied.
We tied.
Every single one of us all got 4. Yeah.
Wow, so it was a surprising night. Yeah, you want to run through the matches and give our thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I'll just say, like, you know, we do try to be fairly positive on this show.
Sure.
About pay-per-views without without kind of interjecting what we think should happen, things like that.
Yeah.
But this was a pay-per-view I did not enjoy.
You didn't.
Much.
You didn't. No. I liked it. I thought it was good. What didn't tickle your pickle?
Well, there's just a lot of matches I was very excited about, and then when they actually happened, weren't very exciting. And that was, I think, the big problem I had, especially after we started with not only like a good pre-show, which Aiden English beat Ty Dillinger. I really enjoyed that match. I thought it was great. And I didn't expect Aiden English to win. He did, and it was awesome. And I was like, oh, my God, look at this. We're starting off already. The pre-show match is good.
Yeah.
This is just going to get better. And then we open with the tag team match.
Yeah.
Which was friggin' awesome.
That was great.
Right?
Yeah.
It was so good. And Xavier Woods hitting the elbow at the end from across the ring. Oh, my God. What a way.
Let me spit this at you.
Sure.
Was that the beginning of the New Day becoming a Xavier Austin and Xavier Kofi tag team plus Big E single star?
Possibly. I mean, they definitely in the past have barely ever left Big E out, right?
Yes, he's there. It's usually Big E and Kofi, yeah. Sometimes Big E and Xavier.
But I gotta wonder if there was some other reason that we weren't really that aware of, like maybe Xavier had some nagging something. I know Kofi had recently gotten hurt and then he's kind of back now. So it's possible that we could be seeing something like that. Xavier, when he goes, is amazing. I mean, he was the star of this match, I think. You know, he took the big drop kick spot off the top rope as well when he tried to hit the elbow earlier. And then he actually finally hit it. And oh my God, it was amazing. So yeah, and I would not be against that.
No,
they do need some more heavies around the SmackDown scene, right? So, and Big E's just kind of sitting there dancing.
He's
a big boy.
You look at it and you're like, hey, I would love to see Big E versus everybody that's in that title picture right now. I'd love to see Big E versus Orton and Jinder and AJ and Kevin Owens and Nakamura.
Who do those guys really move on to at this point, right? That's, I think, the little bit of an issue right now, at least at SmackDown, is you start to look at who else people could fight. And I think that's the problem too with even the tag team titles. It's like there's very few places to go now for like the New Day and the Usos and New Day is going to continue for a while. So, but yeah, they made a big point about it too, that this was throwing off the strategy of the Usos. They have to adjust because they were expecting Big E and now all of a sudden it's Xavier. So there's a lot of good story to that match.
Yeah.
And also it's just great. And then everything just kind of took a turn for the worse.
All right. Well, yeah.
So
what was next?
Shinsuke, I was incredibly excited. I thought this was going to be a fun match, brutal match. They're going to go at it for a while. And then, no, just Baron kicks him in the nuts, and that's the end of the match.
It was the end.
I get it. It makes sense for his character, but it was a letdown, right?
I don't know. I know that they are trying to desperately to keep Shinsuke away from the people that you really want him to see, I guess, if that makes sense.
It was a slow burn, and I get, and you know, it's fine. So this was kind of felt like to me, like, just how do we keep this going without having either of these guys eat a pin?
Yes. Right?
And I don't know. Like, I think people can eat pins, man. I think it's fine. There's too much talk about, the guy looks weak and this guy's getting buried and blah, blah, blah. It's like, people are going to win and lose, man. If you fight this often,
yes,
you're going to win and lose. So, I don't know. I don't like that mentality as much. I would have liked to have seen somebody just win.
At least a better
match. It kind of just ended real quick and out of nowhere. And
That did seem to be kind of the theme of the night.
Sure.
For a few of the matches, and I think probably the next one that you're going to mention is certainly guilty of that as well.
Yeah, so the five-way elimination match, fine. It was a surprise to see Natalya win, by the way.
Natalya Naomi seems kind of destined for the SummerSlam pre-show. Right?
It does, yeah, unfortunately.
But I think
if it had
it should
been Becky or Charlotte, like, I'd be very excited for that match coming up, but I just can't get excited about Natalya. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, you almost wonder whether or not there's going to be some machinations between now and SummerSlam. They got a bunch of time to do it, and be it, you know, Carmella inserting herself or something like that. There's got to be something else to it unless it is just going to be a really... Listen, it'll be a very technically sound, fun match. It just won't be the most exciting match on the planet because they've been around for a while.
Yeah, and Natalya has proven to me in the past that she can carry a feud a little bit. Like, you know, the Nikki Bella stuff was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's a total raging bitch,
yeah,
you know,
then
to
we're
Naomi,
good.
Then all right, I'm in. But it's right now. It's just at that point, I was like, okay, I needed something to pick me up after that last match, and that didn't do it. Right.
Well, and again, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head that much like Sherlock Holmes taught us, sometimes it is the dogs that don't bark. And right now we have two stars,
yeah,
in Becky and Charlotte that don't seem to have gigantic roles in the top part of that division when obviously they're the two that you are basing this entire division around, which seems
weird.
Yeah,
and we keep waiting for, like, the Charlotte-Becky heel turn or something, right? The thing that's going to...
Yeah.
They got to get frustrated, you know?
Yeah, or them to win the title or get in a feud or do something that isn't just... I mean, like, or just become best friends. Like, they obviously are out of the ring if you follow their social media, but, like... Make them effectively a women's tag team and let them just hang out and come out together and stuff like that.
Sure.
Just do something.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a pair of women there in NXT who need someone to fight with whenever that inevitably happens, right? So
yeah. Well, you know, you never know. Maybe there are bigger plans for Becky and Charlotte, and the reason why we saw Natalya go over is because they wanted to clear them out of that speculation so they can put them in those bigger plans.
Yeah.
Remember
so then
this.
We got AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, which I was.
Wait, hold on.
Like,
wait.
Sure.
One more thing about that women's match. Remember, if you want to take a look, we don't need to spoil it now, but there are things that are set up in that Mae Young Classic that involve Becky and Charlotte that will air before SummerSlam. So there might be more to this. But all right, let's get into AJ. And Kevin Owens.
So this was the match that I was thinking, okay, this will be like match of the night. And we already had what, you know, is a great contender in the tag team match, right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so excited to watch AJ Styles wrestle Kevin Owens, two of my favorite wrestlers, going at it. And then there's just weirdness, right? The match was fine.
Yeah.
It was going great. It was just, everything was okay. And then all of a sudden we get this ref bump that didn't end up factoring in at all. And that was what I thought was kind of like, everything started to stop making sense after that bump happened. Right. So it's a very Kevin Owens thing to do. To literally just throw AJ at the ref. Right.
Yeah.
So that all that was fine. But then they go into this like kind of series of submission holds where nobody taps without the ref seeing. Nobody breaks any rules. Nobody does anything, you know, that the ref would DQ them for.
Yeah.
And then we just get a weird, like, AJ didn't realize he was in a pin thing. So just, I don't know. It just, it made AJ look like he just is an idiot who doesn't realize he's in a pin.
Yeah.
And there was no heel move from Kevin. And it was just like, what is going on here? What was the point of any of that? None of it gelled with each other. Right?
Very.
Like none of it mattered to the next thing.
Very confusing. I think that is safe to say that if they wanted to create a very clear or concise story, that they did not successfully do that because everybody didn't know what the hot hell happened. And now all of a sudden Kevin Owens is the champion, which you kind of knew was going to happen when they did that random house show flip and Kevin Owens is still the face of America, that title is coming back to him. But... You know,
but like, I don't like matches to end where everyone's just like, huh?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's the biggest memories you have are when matches end and like everyone goes up and it's, oh,
or boos, yells or boos.
Yeah, people lose their minds.
Yeah.
Right? This was just like, everybody just didn't even know how to react. They weren't even sure. Was that real? Was that the actual thing?
Is this real life?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, that was just, it just felt awkward. And then, again, it was maybe I was a victim of my own expectations in this particular case, right?
I would say that it is hard for fans like us that have such investment in Kevin Owens and AJ Styles that
yeah.
the matches like this are the matches for us. Like, we only get X amount of them that we have seen, that these are guys that we've loved for a while. And now on the big stage, this is where you want it, right? You want the top talent on the biggest stage under the bright lights. Let's go. Let's show everybody what we've all been loving forever. We've seen them do it in VFW halls and high school gyms. Here we go. Sold out arena. And then it ends in kind of a fart.
And so, like, but think about just, you know, Sami Callihan and Shane Strickland that we had just seen.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just, like, blown away by what these two guys could do in a room full of, you know, 500 people.
Yeah.
And then you've got thousands of people and people watching, you know, all over the world. And then they just don't really go for it. They just come up with something very strange. And I get it. They have to keep storylines going. So if there's the storyline is built around this confusion, AJ doesn't know what the hell happened. He's like, hold on. Maybe he has some sort of a grievance now because he thinks that Kevin Owens' shoulders were also down.
Yeah.
There could be something there. So we don't really know until we watch the next SmackDown and all that kind of stuff. But just at the time, you know, you're just like, oh, man, that didn't make me feel good inside. You know,
and that's the other thing is that I do think that there is a legitimate criticism to say if the point was confusion, you didn't sell confusion well enough.
Yeah.
Because
apparently AJ sold confusion in the ring afterwards, but you didn't know that because they cut away. So
and that's, you know, the one thing that SmackDown with their pay-per-views has been very, 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 very good at is setting up other storylines that they can pay off on SmackDown within the next couple weeks. Like they've done it a bunch of times, like with you know, the way that the women's Money in the Bank ended and stuff like that, like big lingering questions that you have to tune in and watch on SmackDown, which is something that really the Attitude Era was based on. You know, if you look back at how many pay-per-views, specifically these kind of off-brand pay-per-views, right? Like not the big four, but the ones that are leading up to the big pay-per-views. A lot of them ended on like random title changes that got reversed the next night on Raw. And I think SmackDown has been very, very good at that. And if what they hope is that you're going to get two or three main events revolving around some combination of AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, they still could have made this a little bit clearer that AJ got screwed.
Sure. And if they're saving themselves for SummerSlam, fair enough. You know what I mean? But I don't want it to be like every pay-per-view isn't the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like, I still prefer a pay-per-view match to be like a good match, you know?
And that's the thing. I think even everyone every match we've talked about, except maybe Shinsuke and Baron Corbin, was a good match with a weird ending.
Sure. Yeah.
Match was fine.
I'm with
match
you there. And then, of course, then we've got the John Cena, Rusev, which I thought was, which should have been a good match, but was just very, very weirdly paced. I don't know.
Yeah, this
it
is...
It took a long time to do what I think could have been done in about 10 minutes. We were counting it in the Discord. It was like 22 minutes or something like that.
You would think that what is effectively, if you were trying to game this out, like if this were matches done quick, you know, the quickest way to win that match is to just grab your flag, run it as fast as you can, and make it a foot race to stick it in the thing. It's just double dare. Right.
Yeah. And you know, and I get it. I mean, that's obviously not what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, punch each other a bunch so that it's really hard to get your flag and carry it all the way down the thing. That's fine. But it was, you know, I made the joke in the Discord, like they've packed 5 minutes of action into this 20-minute match.
Yeah.
And it's just what it felt like. It just felt like a lot of laying around, breathing hard and not a lot of, and they were trying to build the tension. And I think this is what similarly happened in the main event, was they took a long time building tension with stuff that wasn't actually building tension, right? So, like the getting of the flag in the first place, wasn't really a tension building moment, right? The tension building moment was, you know, putting some tables up, and then trying to figure out who was going to go through the damn tables, right? Like that definitely felt like it there. And so I think, you know, they should have gotten to the stage a little faster. There should have been the table spot should have started to happen a little bit faster. There should have been more slamming each other around up there. There's a lot of time spent in the ring, not really doing anything and stuff. So that, that's the problem with this match. It was, again, it was like a match I was excited for because I like both of these guys.
Yeah.
And then they just, it wasn't, I don't know. Then they just kind of, and I know it's not all on them. Someone's telling them, you know, here's the plan, this and that. And the
well,
other thing.
I think the circumstances of that match seem to kind of have dictated the ending. Because as soon as it became a non-physical finish stipulation, as soon as the stipulation is stick a flag in a flag holder and not pin or submit your opponent, then you realize they need to get Rusev back on television. They want to do it in a big way. They need to get John Cena back on television. They need to do it in a big way. I'm assuming they're both going to have fairly sizable matches at SummerSlam, right? And so you don't want to cut the nuts off either of them. So what do? You put them in a flag match where you can, somebody, you know, Rusev can get beat by just going through a couple tables.
Yeah. It was just, again, just that match, I actually got up and started making dinner. Like, I was like, okay, there's clearly nothing's going to happen for a while. And then I was like, tables. Okay, I'm back. Okay, cool. Got it. I saw the end. And that's not how you want your matches to be either. You don't want your get up and make dinner matches, right?
No.
So,
no.
Then we got our Mike Kanellis, Sami Zayn, which
I thought that was a fun match.
It was totally fine and fun because, again, it's like there wasn't much to it, but there didn't need to be. It was the match before the main event. We didn't need like a 20 minutes, you know, slobber knocker of a match, but like it was, you know, whatever. And Mike Kanellis' outfit was enough to make me enjoy that. So yeah, that was fine.
And I do. I like, one thing that I did like, think was really good was the commentary last night. I thought the commentary was actually pretty good. It added a lot and was funny, but
what's
not distracting.
What's the main middle guy now? Tom Holland?
No. Tom Phillips.
Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm like, I just, Kevin Owens healed him. But he's fine. He's good. I like him. Although I didn't like the in the flag match, I felt like they spent the entire time on commentary explaining the rules. And this started to kind of happen in the Punjabi prison match as well.
Yeah.
But then they kind of went away from it at the end when it was, they spent too long on the door thing. I think that was the problem.
Well,
right?
It is a very, very complicated on wrestling standards rules where it's like, you know, so why do they only close after 60 seconds? And is that Punjabi tradition? Like, anywho.
Why are there four doors in a prison?
Yeah.
Sure.
But I thought the Mike and Maria Kanellis thing, I think that they're a great act and the them kissing each other in the middle of stuff and just being gross. And I thought the commentary making the whole like PDA party thing was pretty funny. So, good job by them and Sammy going over, I think is
it was a surprise, right?
Well, you know, you'd expect, You would expect that the Kanellises could come out to a hot start over Sammy, but it was good to see Sammy get the win because that's kind of been Sammy's role is to lose to people that are debuting.
He's been putting people over forever, so this was, you know, and I could see there being more to this and it being actually interesting, so for sure. But it was I think at this point, what was happening was that the rest of the pay per view was leaking into this match. It was. People were wanting something to get them back. And for a lot of people, like, this wasn't enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I agree with you. I think if this match had been, like, second or third, it would have just been, like, much more well-received. But, man, people were just mad about AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, John Cena, Rusev. The internet was just not into it.
Not having it.
Nothing was really going to work for Mike Kanellis and Sami Zayn, unfortunately, unless they really put on a great match, which isn't the place to do it in the match before the main event. So.
No. So let's get into the main event. The return of the infamous Punjabi prison match, as popularized by the great Khali, although he only wrestled in one of them. He got injured before.
There's only been two.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you could ever even say it was been popularized at all, right?
Well, it was made for him. I guess that would be probably the best way to say it.
The first one wasn't even with him, though, right?
Was it the first or the second that didn't have him?
It was the first one that didn't have him.
Because he got injured.
But they've retconned this, apparently. But the first one was, like, Big Show and somebody.
Well, he was in one. And then it was Undertaker Mark Henry, I believe, that was in the second one. But he was replaced because he got injured. He was supposed to be in the match.
Oh, is that what happened? Okay.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be involved and he got pulled. Okay, so yeah. It was Big Show Undertaker was the first one ever.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this was designed.
And then Batista, great colleague.
This was designed for him. This was supposed to be his signature match. This was his Ambrose Asylum.
Which, by the way, why the hell would he want a match where he has to climb out of a giant cage?
I think it was, it's lived on forever in kind of internet wrestling lore because it is so baffling. Like, why would the question be, can Great Khali climb a 20-foot bamboo ladder? Like, that doesn't seem like something he would want to do or be good at.
Like, the match that he should come up with is, like the Punjabi really tall thing we have to reach. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah. Exactly. It's a something on a pole match, but the pole is 40 feet tall. Only he can reach it.
Sure. Yeah, that seems like if he's trying to give himself home field advantage, that's how you'd go about it. But all right. Fair enough. A prison with four doors on the inside part, then another thing on the outside. Cool.
The Reverend Buck says, the rules of the match are simple. The door will open when the Great Khali answers the Sphinx's riddle. Which is kind of mixing up countries, but that's fine. Whatever.
How about this? You can request the doors be open, but you have to speak in your native tongue of Punjabi. So then, like, the story would be Randy Orton had to go to Punjabi classes, you know, learn how to ask for doors to be opened.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it's a baffling match, to say the least.
Sure. But let me just say this. I thought this match was an absolute blast. I thought it was easily the most fun Punjabi prison match ever. Low bar, I understand. But
surely the best Punjabi prison match ever. Yes.
Yeah. But I think it highlighted the strengths of A, this feud, and B, gave us a big fun surprise when the man himself, the Great Khali, emerged from the back to choke out Randy Orton, therefore giving Jinder Mahal his retention of the WWE title.
This match did better my expectations. Out of all the matches that had come before it where I had been disappointed, this match actually did go far beyond what I thought it was going to be as far as like a good match or not. Mm-hmm. The problem that I had with it was they spent way too long on the damn doors, right? They spent like 10 damn minutes creating tension, quote unquote, with the doors. And not a single time did one of the doors make me feel any sort of anything. It was just like, okay, I get it. We're going to go through all four doors. Like right after the first one, I knew exactly what was going to happen each time. It was just going to be one guy's almost out. The other guy punches him in the stomach. Then he's almost out. And that guy grabs him. And we're just going to get that for a while.
See,
so
I
wanted to move through that quicker.
What I thought would have been the way to go and what I kept wanting them to do is for them to both get out of one door and then open up the door and throw somebody back in where they get locked in and have to.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. See, if you can just ask for a door to be open, you could use doors from the outside, right?
Yeah. So to have a little bit more fluidity as opposed to it being just a full stage 1, stage 2 kind of match.
Now, by the way, the match did really pick up once the Singh brothers showed up.
Which I mean, just great them crawling out from under the ring in their club kid attire was just great.
Sure. And then of course again, it was Samar Singh took the biggest bump. It's kind of funny that during this entire feud, the only people really taking bumps right now are the Singh brothers.
Oh my God! Yeah, Randy Orton just finding new and innovative ways to toss them haphazardly through the announce tables, huh?
Yeah, they were just having fun being Bollywood boys, and now their job is to just get murdered by Randy Orton.
Oh, Jesus. That was a hell of a bump, too. That was almost as big as, remember the Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose double bump off Hell in a Cell?
Oh, geez, yeah.
I think it's from about that height.
We were in Shane McMahon territory here. That was from a very high up area, so... Yeah, I thought the match really picked up at that point. There was real tension. Kendo sticks came out. Chairs came out. The whole thing happened. And then, yeah, Great Khali coming out. It was funny because I'd seen on social media people talking about how he was posting pictures. All of a sudden, his Instagram got really active. You know? And so there's a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to happen. And I was like, I think he's just showing up because this is a big moment for Indian wrestling.
Yeah.
Not because he's going to do something. And then I was like, the madman, they did it. So
they did it. They did it. They brought him back, the Great Khali.
So we'll see where this goes from here. I mean, he's it sounds to me like he's just going to come out and choke people out for gender. And we got a little bit of a stable here, a heel stable, which could be very fun. So.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard any of the Meltzer review on whether or not this was a one-off or if he is back in any kind of semi full-time capacity.
He doesn't look like he's moving very good. He got about two Punjabi rungs up there. And then, but he doesn't need to, right? He doesn't need to do any wrestling. He just needs to come out and be menacing and large a couple times. So, yeah, he can do that. That's fine. This match definitely did surpass my expectations. And normally I'm a guy who I will find the fun in a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But maybe it was just after Wrestle Circus, this just felt like just a letdown, right? And that's one of the problems, I think, when you can't really compare one promotion to another. You can't really compare one set of wrestling. Like, a lot of people talking about how great G1 is right now.
Yeah.
In New Japan, it's like, well, that's you can watch all of it. Or you can choose not to watch WWE.
Sure.
Like, no one's forcing you to do that, right? So if you're not enjoying it, don't feel like you have to.
Go
do the thing you like.
And by the way, we're not gonna talk a lot about the G1 because I haven't seen a lot of the G1.
I haven't watched it.
So unfortunately, that is not something that we're gonna be able to chat about. But I know a lot of people that love it, and it's great, and that's awesome. I am happy for everybody that is happy for that. I had a bit of a different opinion. I thought that the show was good with the exception of some of the muddled finishes. But in general, I mean, I don't know. It's a Punjabi prison match. We got a good Punjabi prison match. Like,
yeah. Who saw that coming?
I would. That's some. If you just walked up to me on the street and said, hey, would you like to see a good Punjabi prison match? I'd be like, sure. I'd like to see what that looks like. I've never seen one. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's fair enough. And I think another issue that maybe the internet seems to have is that now with the network, these pay-per-views aren't quite what they maybe used to be, right? And definitely we had bad pay-per-views during the era of that. The only way to watch them was $60 on your, you know, cable
on
provider.
Your local cable system.
Yeah, but at $9.99 a month and two of them a month, it's okay, I think, for it to be, they don't have to go hard every single time. But there's still going to be that expectation from a lot of people, right? So they might have, like, backed themselves into a bit of a corner there with having to put on so many of these. But I'm just glad that, you know, for my $9.99, I'm getting a lot of content. So I don't know. To me, that argument doesn't quite hold as much water as some people seem to think it does. But it's out there.
Well, but look, I mean, like, we got two title changes, right? We got two title changes and a surprising number one contender winner. And we got the Great Khali to show up in the middle of a Punjabi prison match. Like,
sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
lots of surprises and lots. Yeah. There was definitely lots of fun stuff. But, you know, just as a pay-per-view, it did feel like I could see why the internet felt it was underwhelming. That's all I'll say. But it doesn't take away from the fun moments that were had within it. Right. So that's 100%. What wrestling like is all really about for me. It's like, just give me the fun moments as long as I can get those. But, you know, right now it's like indie wrestling is giving me more fun moments.
Well, and here's the other thing, is now indie wrestling is a lot easier to see, you know, that everybody's streaming on Twitch. I mean, look, I saw there was a great post on Reddit about just the whole Twitch thing. And they're like, hey, look, I live in Ireland and I'm up late. I got to watch Wrestle Circus and then I turned on Hood Slam and I just got a full double barrel dose of awesome, unique, buzzworthy independent wrestling in America. And that's something
that's cool.
You just couldn't say before people started streaming on these channels.
Yeah. Like we were talking
for free, you know, I guess is the operative word there.
Sure. But like I feel like, you know, early on in this show, the buzz was really about all the talent coming to WWE. Right.
Yeah.
And there was just like a kind of a big shift from a lot of these people who had kind of done all they could do in indie wrestling, really, finally getting like their shot on the biggest stage in the world. And now what I think we're seeing is all the people who were just kind of a little behind them are starting to really kind of come into their own at a time when indie wrestling is starting to get a little bit more of a spotlight than it's ever had.
Yeah.
So it's just very exciting. Like it's kind of like the talent has evened out just a little bit, and they're starting to do more things, I think, in indie wrestling that are, you can be more continually story based, if that makes sense. Right. Like you can have like a Gentleman Jervis getting beat up by a ref storyline, and there's enough people who are going to understand what the hell's happening. They're going to want to tune in next month and see how that story unfolds. And that's really cool. So there's great stuff happening everywhere. Not every pay-per-view has to be like the perfect thing. I saw a lot of people saying, I'm never watching WWE again after last night. It's like, come on, just stop it.
Sure. Like, well, yeah. You know, I think that post has been on every message board or Reddit since the invention of message boards for wrestling. Yes. So good for them. I hope they enjoy their WWE list life for the next 5 minutes ago. All right. One more thing I do want to mention, and not to go back to Wrestle Circus. I know that we're harping on this a lot, but at least we're not a show that talks about PWG, where you can't watch it until it's on DVD, you know, 3 months from now.
Sure.
Gentleman Jervis, who is obviously in a bit of a, for those of you who are unaware, Mike Quackenbush, the guy who runs Chikara, has made some, I don't know exactly where it is in the legal wranglings, but basically said that the performer that we now know as Gentleman Jervis cannot be Jervis Cottonbelly, the character that originated in Chikara. And so at the Wrestle Circus show, there was a lot of chanting, some directed by the performers, like Johnny Mundo is in a thing with AAA along with his wife Taya. And now we have this issue with Chikara and Gentleman Jervis. And Gentleman Jervis did tweet out that he heard the profane chants directed at his former employer, which was F Chikara, and he requested that stop. That this is not, it's all love. People have moved on. It's why he's the nicest guy in wrestling. So I think it'd be good. I know everybody wants to plug into these things and they want to support the performers and they want to stick up for the little guy, but I'm glad that Jervis took the high road on this as opposed to just using it as a heat magnet.
Well, he's living the gimmick, but he's also, actually like doing the right thing. So yeah.
Big ups to Gentleman Jervis.
Like, it's that kind of stuff does kind of rub me the wrong way, and the fans kind of go a little far. And like with Johnny Mundo, John Morrison, it plays into his character, right? That he wants people to say stuff like that. But it's still just kind of, I find it a little off-putting that we're, crapping. We could talk about it. We could be like, I don't think that's a cool thing, and I don't. I think that the wrestlers who get the gimmick over are helping the promoter as much as the promoter is helping the wrestler. So it's a symbiotic relationship. They shouldn't fight over that later. But yeah, I also don't like, I don't want there to be a bunch of negativity in the wrestling world between promotions and fans, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let it happen. There's going to be douches out there.
It's a weird world, man. It is, the closer I get to it, the weirder of an industry it is, man. It is a strange place.
I feel like the people who are chanting that at Wrestle Circus were really just getting off on the fact that they know stuff about stuff.
That's why I was chanting it. Like,
sure.
I knew, it's like, I know that. I know who I like there.
I know,
I like
what
saying
we're
the F
about.
Word out loud.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, let's get into the most popular part of this show. We hung out at Wrestle Circus with the maestro himself, Trey Warren. He did not bring his melodica, but he speaks with such a melodious tone. It sounded like I was hearing his dulcet themes even as we were chatting. This was last week's Do you know that theme, Willie Dills?
No, not even a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Willie, it's a shameful thing, Lobsterhead, because that is indeed the new Sheamus theme. That's the intro.
Okay. I mean, it definitely had the Scottish sound to it, but I admit I didn't go back and double check. That would have been my initial guess, though, back when we played it last week.
All right, here we go. This is this week's Melodica Challenge. Long one. Long one this week.
You wow, there's a lot going on there.
All right, here we go. We'll play it for you one more time. All right, if you want to take a guess on that, go ahead and at reply us on Twitter, at Justin R. Young, at Willie Dills. And remember that you get these Melodica challenges in a downloadable format if you are a patron, patreon.com/1900wrestling. We should make mention real quick that I don't know if we officially said it, but we are going to be in Las Vegas for the big Ring of Honor show that is in September. I believe it's September 21st, right?
It's the 21st and 22nd, I think.
Yeah,
Friday is the actual pay-per-view, and then Saturday is like a TV taping for like the next day.
I believe it is
or the next week's
Death Before Dishonor is the pay-per-view. We will be there in Sin City, Las Vegas. Very, very, very excited to make our way out and to go see another Ring of Honor show. Dills, do you have anything that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Just check out twitch.tv/WillieDills and check me out on Twitter at Willie Dills. Be streaming a lot of Hearthstone for the coming weeks, and there's a lot of card reveals for the new set expansion. So we're talking about that kind of stuff. You're excited about Hearthstone the same way that I am. Come join me. Have a good time.
Nice. And you can follow me at Justin R. Young on Twitter, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. And again, only 9 days remaining to get your hands on Action News, the brand new tabletop card game that is already funded on Kickstarter. However, now is the time to spread the word because we are in the final push to get as many of these decks made, which means we can make more bigger, more awesome decks. We are coming up on 1,000 backers, which will be huge, huge, huge for us because it means we have enough money to make an app that could go along with the game, that could help you time things out. It is going to be amazing. So head on over to Action News Game. That is actionnewsgame.com and get yours now. Spread the word. Tell your friends. This is the time to strike. Willie, that about wraps it up. We will see everybody next week. But, wait, hold on. Here we go. Until then, I want to remind everybody that we love you guys. And we will see you guys next week for 1-900 Wrestling. We ask you to continue. Be dialing.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John C.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole heavy yet.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.